Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We got ourselves a big-time matchup in the NFL. We will get into all of that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever you are making us a part of your Football Friday, we appreciate you doing so. We're taking you all the way up till the end of the hour here, right here on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, we are going to catch up with Albert Breer later this hour. We've got the scraps, so we've got a lot to get to here. A little behind the scenes here on Fox Sports Radio. We do want to make sure that we get a preview in big-time matchup in the NFL. Big-time matchup in the NFL is the Bucs and the Rams. So I'll throw a theory out to those guys they're going to laugh at. But Brady really wanted to hear the Zach Wilson sound. Zach Wilson, the quarterback of the New York Jets. I mean, I thought we were going to move right into the big-time game here, but LeVar Brady overruled us and said, no, I got to hear this Zach Wilson sound.
That's right.
I want to hear about Zach Wilson.
There's no evidence otherwise, by the way, LeVar. You can't come to my defense with any other evidence.
Brady's like, I got to hear about Zach Wilson. I want to know about him trying to play smarter and whether or not it's going to be a difficult task. So here it is, Brady Quinn. It's a you call it here on a Friday. This is Zach Wilson.
I don't think it's necessarily challenging. It's just being smart with the ball, and then understanding, sometimes, those situations in games like that, there wasn't check downs on some of those interceptions, right? It's not just, hey, check the ball down. It's, hey, be smart with the ball. How can you throw it away or get rid of it? And that's what I'm applying to this next week. Trying to learn and just get better.
You think he wishes he was back at BYU yet?
Well, my question to you is, didn't Robert Saleh after the game say, like, sometimes you just need to hit the check down?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like it's almost like he feels the need to defend himself publicly.
That's what it sounded like.
And look, here's one bad habit that is happening right now with young quarterbacks. That's not just in the NFL. It's in college football. You see in high school football to a degree. They don't understand how to throw the football away and move on to the next play. Mm. And it actually is becoming like they'll scramble around and they'll run for like a 2 or 3 yard loss.
They're going for them quarterback ratings.
Yes. PTR.
Yeah.
Protect the rating.
Yeah.
I had a coach say that to me in the NFL one time. We were down by 2 scores. We had like, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds left. And we were plus territory. And we called up a shot play, and I was like, yeah, I got to take a shot to at least give us a chance to score, maybe onside kick, maybe a miracle happens, right? That's my mentality. And literally, I tried to take a shot to Josh Cribbs, gets picked off. End of the game. And I was like, whatever, I don't care because I'd rather try fighting than that. We come back into the film the next day, and he's like, hey, man, are we going to win the game with this one throw? I was like, no. He's like, well, PTR, man, protect the rating. Just take this check down here. You get some yards afterwards. Another complete. I'm going, wait, what? Like, what are you trying to tell me?
Jesus.
But that's a high school thing. Like, I had a high school kid that I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And he'd be like, coach, I'd rather take the sack than throw the ball away. Like, this is what he said to me.
That's a real thing?
It's a real thing. And it's because it makes the stats look better.
Yes. Right.
If someone just looking at stats and they see sacks, they're like, oh, the offensive line probably is very good.
Oh, my God.
They're not going to say, like, oh, the kid holds on to the football or he's putting his team in a bad spot. It happens everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. It's it is hard to watch.
I love what fantasy football's brought to the NFL, but this feels like some people that are really being impacted.
But this is private quarterback trainers, too. This is all these private quarterback trainers.
That's what it is right there. Because that influence is crazy.
Because those quarterback trainers think if you throw an interception or your stats look bad, it's a knock on me as a trainer, and they'd rather look at the rating.
If you thought Alex Guerrero and his representation is bad, listen to some of these coaches, these quarterback coaches, talk about their guys.
My God,
man. You know what's funny?
That's child's play.
Like Mike Martz used to say, if you're not throwing interceptions, you're not running this offense the proper way. Now, Mike Martz obviously – you know, had the greatest show on turf. But his whole point was you should be throwing the ball to spots with anticipation. And there's going to be stuff that happens. You're going to have a wide receiver that falls down. You're going to have a ball that gets tipped. You know, you're going to have to take some risks, take some chances, especially if you're pushing the ball downfield. And so there was like a thought process to it at one point. But now I think because of what a lot of private quarterback coaches throw in these kids' heads, And one of the quickest ways to make them look like they're valued is statistically if their completion percentage goes up. So that's the hard thing. And look, you've got websites like Pro Football Focus that takes into account, hey, the guy's throwing the football away here. But there's still not enough of that throughout, you know, every level of football that applies. And so in this case, because we're talking about Zach Wilson, just to bring it full circle, like – you know, he's got to understand there's times when you just got to throw the football away, live to play another down. Like, live to put your team in a better situation. That's sometimes the smartest thing you can do. It's not forcing the ball into traffic or potentially throwing, you know, taking a chance and throwing four interceptions in a game and taking your team out of it. It's making the best decision possible with that circumstance. And sometimes that's an incompletion, even though it's going to hurt your completion percentage or your rating.
You know what else he needs to learn? That New York media is not his mom or his dad. And he better figure that out very quickly, because doing sound bites, doing interviews where you're like dry, like lightweight, putting the blame somewhere else or justifying yourself. Like, I know you told me to clean my room, mom, but I just didn't have time. I didn't have the time to go clean my room, so therefore it's justifiable that this is why my room isn't clean today.
That's a decent Zach Wilson impersonation.
That was like really
I just have side really by
good.
Side.
It's just I just think that it's kind of, you don't want to become like people already think you look like a kid, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to come and give a place that chews people up and spits them out the ammunition to run with. Like, if you end up on the back of them tabloids and them newspapers, and now all of a sudden the headlines are on your head, he's making himself easy bait in this situation. Like, what do you mean if the checkdowns aren't there? Like, if there's not any checkdowns that are in the play? Like, don't throw your offense coordinator under the bus. Somebody's going to pick up on those little things that he's saying. It's like, oh, he's talking to his mom. This is like, oh, he's a mama's boy. Like, New York ain't about mama boys. New York is about, hey, how you doing? F you. That's New York.
Yeah, they embrace the guy with a foot fetish.
I need, yes, because it's real, yeah. And it's filthy.
Yes.
And it's down, and
damn,
it's dirty.
Damn right.
It's gritty. It's grimy. Yeah. Like, I'd rather have toes in it. Right? Rather than you saying, oh, and like, well, mom, like, I didn't want this. I wanted Chick-fil-A. Like, what?
Is this a personal experience?
Yeah,
now?
I mean, maybe. What are we talking about here?
I worked at a private school, so I know exactly what I'm dealing with right now. I know exactly what the sound bites and the quotes sound like from a kid.
Yeah.
That's a mama's boy.
Can I just throw a theory at you guys before we get to break here?
Is this a conspiracy theory? Or, I mean, do we need a certain type of
No. I don't think this warrants conspiracy theory. I wish it did, because, you know, anything to hear the Unsolved Mysteries theme.
What's that guy's name?
Robert Stack.
That's right. What a great name.
Update.
Bobby Stack.
The train that was pushed across the tracks in Simi Valley by a mysterious ghost has now been confirmed as a bum. All right, so here's the...
bum.
I just said, you know, it's a great word. Do you guys think... if there was a week that Tom Brady would be looking past a team, that this might be the week. Be- because he's got the Patriots next week, that maybe the Bucs are ripe for the pickings going into L.A. to take on the Rams based on what's coming up next week for Tom Brady and company.
Is that a tease, or do answer this?
I'm asking the question. Answer.
Hell would they overlook the Rams?
If there was a week that he was going to overlook somebody, maybe this would be the week.
No.
Okay? I'm just asking the
question.
Aren't
the Rams 2-0? Aren't the Rams one of the best teams so far?
Don't they have the best football player in the National Football League?
We're a week out, and Tom Brady's camp is talking about the Patriots.
He's going to overlook staring death right in the face every snap going up against Aaron Donald.
I'm just saying.
I'm sure he's going to overlook that.
I'm just saying. His camp is already talking about the Patriots game next week, and you got the Rams looking at you.
What a bad question.
Exactly. And I don't know why LeVar told me to ask it on the air.
I'm sorry.
Again, I don't know why.
To set told, you up. Yeah. It was a setup, really. I wanted to hear what Brady's reaction was going to be.
I don't know.
Can tell I clearly hyped it up, too. Like that is the wildest question I've heard all show.
Yeah, I don't know why he asked me to say that, Brady.
I don't know,
it's
man.
It's just shocking here.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to keep
things on the up and
up. I definitely
put thumbs up in the notes, like, let's go with this one.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, I got that out there for LeVar. Again.
There is the possibility that he could be looking to this Patriots game. Overlooking, not so much, but looking at that Patriots game, it's getting to front of mind. And in fact, I would assume that it was front of mind when the schedules were released. Right, and now you're getting closer and you're getting closer, so it's certainly on his mind.
By the way, how many fights between Ryan Jansen and Aaron Donald this weekend?
There'll be one. I'd take the over on a half.
Jansen,
that was the prop bet.
He fights every game. Every game he's in a skirmish.
I don't know if it's like the way he plays. Like, ever heard of a last touch guy, LeVar? Have you heard of that?
Yes.
He's a last touch guy.
Yeah, you pushed him, I got to push you again.
Yes.
I pushed you away, I got to push you again.
So, exactly.
I grabbed you to get away.
Amazing.
You got
it. It's amazing.
You want to hear a funny story?
Explain it to people what a last touch is.
All right, so last touch meaning like that it's almost like a last word person. Like you can't leave it alone. Like you just have to be the person that has the last word. So me and John Jansen, my rookie year, me and John Jansen are in training camp, and we were practicing with full pads, this, that, and the other. And we get to a run play at the end of the practice, and he took a unnecessary shot on me. So I grab him by his face mask and start letting him know what his name was and Wolverines ain't it and da-da-da, this and that. And he grabs me by my face mask, and he tells me about who I am, and I'm a rookie, and you – PF and PMF and all this old other stuff, right? So we're sitting there, and the coach has called up the practice. Like, the practice is over, and we're still at midfield holding each other's face masks, going back and forth. Like, our heads are going back and forth, and no one wanted to be the first one to let it go. Nobody wanted to be the one that let go of the head and we're pushing we're holding our face mask going back and forth. Somebody had to be the last one. And I don't even know who was the first one to let go.
Childish. I don't even understand, but it's amazing.
The coach is talking to the team. Guys are on their knees listening to the coach tell them what. And nobody even thought to break us apart. Like, they're like, they're okay. Just let them go. It's okay. You know, they're not hurting each other. Like, just let them go. They done broke everything. We're still sitting there with our hands and our face masks just going back and forth. Like, but we respected each other after that. I'll tell you that. There was a respect factor after that. And I don't know who was the last last one to let go. I don't know.
Last touch guy.
Last touch guy.
So a lot of teams, when they're evaluating, especially college prospects, they'll watch on tape and they'll see if he's the type of guy, that, especially offensive lineman, where he's kind of giving a little shove or a tap, like before it clips off and goes to the next play, they'll look for him being a last touch guy. And I swear to you, O-line coaches, they love that crap. They like mm-hmm. they love that, like knowing that stuff about players. That's what's funny about it.
Oh, man. Two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. I want to let you know we are brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. All right, so coming up next, there are a couple of interesting situations, some quarterback issues in the NFL. We are going to get the very latest from our insider. That's next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ladies and gentlemen, enough with that. Albert Breer, he is the senior NFL reporter of the MMQB. You get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer, NFL Insider. Albert, appreciate you hanging
Victor.
Out with us here.
Wait, which one is it?
I mean, come on.
Which one?
Listen.
Which one is Albert Breer?
Albert Breer, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
It was a joke.
Okay. Jesus.
Yeah. You took me so literal.
Put some respect on his name.
Oh, my gosh.
Albert, I apologize. I don't know why LeVar is attacking you this early.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I wanted to congratulate you guys, although I don't know what's changed, right? You just have like a fancy logo and a name now?
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Two pros and a cup. Yeah. That's what they call for short.
Yep. It is.
A mug.
Yes, it is just a mug. Just a thimble, if you will.
Wow.
Albert, so what do you make of, because obviously you spend time covering the Patriots, and I think you still live in and around the area there, but what do you make of, you know, Tom Brady Sr., Alex Guerrero? I mean, we're a little over a week out, and we're already talking about Tom Brady's time in New England and what is going on there. Where does that land with you when you hear guys like Alex Guerrero come out and say, well, Belichick, you know, he didn't adjust. You know, he needs to adjust to players as they get older like Tom Brady did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously some old feelings coming out. And I think to some degree it's, the Brady camp getting ahead of this a little bit, because I think they know there are going to be a lot of stories that are going to come out next week, and they know the Patriots have a way of getting their side of the story out there. So I don't think this is like a coordinated effort. Like, I don't think Camp Brady like had a meeting and did a media blitz or anything like that. I think more so this was, you know, a couple of good reporters and Tom Curran from NBC Boston and Karen Grigian from the Boston Herald, who had relationships with these people, reaching out to them. And, you know, people on Brady's side of it figuring, well, if the Patriots are going to get their side of the story out there inevitably, then we might as well tell our side of the story as well. So I think that that's what that was. And I think what you're finding now, too, is that, you know, I think as we all knew at the time, but, you know, we haven't really heard anybody talk about it on the record, the divorce wasn't completely clean. There was some messiness at the end there, and it wasn't just at the very end, guys. It was over the last few years that Brady was in New England.
I was just going to ask you to follow up on that. I mean, what specifically and when do you think this fracture started? I mean, what was it 7 years ago? Was it, you know, was it more closer to the end of it? How did this whole thing work out in your mind?
Brady, I would say, like, you know, like there was normal, I'd say, franchise quarterback, legendary coach tension for a while. But I don't think that was unmanageable. I think where things really started to change a little bit was with the drafting of Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, when they took Garoppolo, and I don't know how many people nationally paid attention to this, but locally people definitely caught on, like, and heard it, you know. The day they drafted Garoppolo, Belichick got up there at the press conference, and when he was asked about them taking Jimmy in the second round, his answer was, well, we all know what Tom's age and contract situation is. The Patriots hadn't given him a new contract yet, and like Brady had been on the record as saying, I want to play till I'm 45, and at the time, I believe, he was, I want to say 37. So it was, okay, you're not giving me a new contract, and now you're doubting that I can actually play as long as I want to play. And, you know, that was followed later that year by Deflategate. And I think, you know, the fact that, you know, Belichick kind of put Brady out there and said, this is his deal, not mine, after Brady had backed Belichick during Spygate, I think all of that sort of played into it. And the thing that made it kind of the most interesting is that's when they started winning Super Bowls again. You know, so they won in 14 and they won in 16. And then in the last year of Garoppolo's contract, the tension sort of got ramped up a little bit because it was, which way are they going to go? That was 2017. They went to the Super Bowl that year too. And so, you know, I think it was sort of, there was a normal tension there between franchise quarterback who, you know, I think wants to be treated a little bit of a different way and had always been kind of treated as just, you know, and Brady, you know how the coaches like this work, LeBar, you too, like wanted to treat him like he was just one of the guys when he was already a legend. And then, you know, I think the Garoppolo pick, the aftermath of the Garoppolo pick, Deflategate, all sort of played into those tensions rising over the 5 years to follow.
AB, not to be outdone by the future matchup between Tom and New England, they have a pretty doggone big game coming up this weekend. And I just wonder, is this being touted and looked at as maybe a NFC championship preview?
Yeah, you know, the Bucs and Rams, I think both have reason.
Uh-oh.
You know, and
okay, there you go.
I mean, I think, like, I don't know. Like, does it looks like they're better, that they have the ability to be better than they were last year, and they won the whole thing last year. So on one side, you got the Buccaneers, and then, you know, on the other side, I think that Rams team, based on the way they looked in week one and then how they sort of dealt with some adversity in week two, and falling behind against the Colts, I think you're really sort of seeing where that Rams team might have another gear in it. And the intention in bringing Stafford in was to kind of raise the ceiling on the team, and you might be seeing that happening in real time now. So that's an enormous game. The Bucs have to travel cross country for it. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're going to need every bit of their focus to beat the Rams this week. And then on the other side of it, LeVar, consider this. I mean, in New England, all these players have heard all week is about the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. They got a good opponent coming down the pike in the Saints, too. And if they lose this one, they're limping into that Tampa game at 1-2. So I think it's going to be really interesting seeing how both the Patriots and Bucs go into week three and how focused they are on a couple of really good opponents. Mm.
Albert Breer joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, senior NFL reporter from the MMQB with us here. Albert, Justin Fields, you being the Ohio State alum, an Ohio State guy getting his first career start in the state of Ohio, it's going to be against the Cleveland Browns. What do you expect from him in his first career start?
Yeah, so the whole idea in going with Andy Dalton in the first place was, I think, just having talked to people there over the last 6 months, sort of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, saying, okay, we're doubling down on the team that we have already, and we believe this team can win with defense and running game, and we need a chain mover at quarterback. And, yeah, we believe in Justin Fields, but, you know, really we don't need to go through all the bumps that a rookie is going to put us through to get the most out of the team in the locker room. And it really is about the other 51 guys in that locker room, and that they felt like the best thing for that group was to have a veteran quarterback in there. Now, we all know if they make the switch to Justin Fields full-time, there's no turning back. So it was going to be difficult to do that while the team was still in contention. Well, now, and, you know, it sucks that Andy's hurt and everything else, but they're going to get an organic look at what Justin Fields looks like within the context of that sort of team and what a managed Justin Fields looks like with the running game, with the defense, and what Justin Fields can do to be sort of the bus driver for that sort of team. And so, I think the intent, the feeling there is that, you know, they're going to come out of these couple of weeks with, you know, Andy Dalton still as a starting quarterback. But, you know, I can tell you, there's, based on Justin's physical ability, based on his big game experience, based on, you know, his just mental makeup, I don't think you can rule out the idea that he goes out there and plays really well the next couple of weeks and makes it more difficult on the Bears. And you guys remember last year with Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert and how sort of a freak thing got Justin Herbert in the lineup. Anthony Lynn was planning on going back to Tyrod Taylor, and Justin Herbert basically took that decision out of his hands. So it'll be interesting to see if Justin Fields can do the same.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm excited for him, though. You know, I think he's a heck of a player. He's got a ton of talent. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what he can do against that defense there for Cleveland. Albert, just in general, what's been one of the biggest surprises in your mind now, a couple games into the season, or maybe something that I guess you didn't foresee happening early on?
Well, I think everybody's seeing how good the Panthers' defense is, and I don't want to pat myself on the back here, guys, because you know I'm not like that. I'm pretty humble. but I had the Panthers in the playoffs, and I think we're starting
what?
To see now. I think we're starting to see now how good that defense is, right? And how that defense, even with J.C. Horn going down last night, that there's real potential for that to be, you know, a top five defense in the league. And I think Sam Darnold can still play. To me, the one that really surprises me personally is the Raiders, because there was every warning sign going into the year that thing was on the verge of crumbling. Well, you know, there were rumors across the NFL about Mike Mayock's job security over the course of the last 6-7 months. You know, there were questions about the defense. They fired their defensive coordinator from last year, bringing Gus Bradley. You know, the business side of the building, and I know that's not completely football-related, but it's still kind of part of everybody's day-to-day there. I mean, they cleaned out the business side. They fired a handful of guys who are at the top of the food chain on that side. So, you know, I looked at the Raiders going into this year, and it's like, God, that thing has a chance to really crumble. And they look great, you know, and they beat Baltimore, and they beat Pittsburgh, and they got a Miami team now coming across the country that doesn't have its starting quarterback. So they got a chance here to go 3-0. And so, you know, I think, like, we see some of the things from the Raiders that you might have expected. Like, you could reasonably expect that the offense was going to be good with Carr and Ruggs and Edwards and Waller and all of those guys. But the defense has been better, and they're playing better team ball in general. So, Brady, I would give you the Raiders as the biggest surprise through 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
AB, we've been having conversation about how Matt Nagy has handled the quarterback situation where he is. And I'm just curious, from your point of view, is this a narrative that Matt Nagy can survive? And if so, is it with keeping Justin Fields in no matter what? Is it with staying loyal and true to how yeah. much he's supported Andy Dalton? Where does this go?
Well, I think so. Like, the first thing I start with, I think Nagy's audience is the locker room. And, you know, I think, like, he knows he's got a veteran locker room with a lot of proud guys in there, like Khalil Mack and Eddie Jackson. And, you know, you can go on down the list. There's a core group of guys that have been there that have been in the playoffs a couple times. So I think that's who, you know, he knows he has to serve. So that's number one. Like, if it's going to be Justin over Andy, I think the locker room has to buy into that. I think there are two ways there are two paths for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace where there won't be a shakeup after the year in that organization. Number one is they make the playoffs. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is, they make the playoffs, they're okay, right? Number two is if they don't make the playoffs, I think they have to look like an ascending team coming out of this year. The reason why is because over their 3 years, they're actually top 10 in the NFL in wins. They've been in the playoffs 2 or 3 years that Nagy and Pace have been working together, but it's gone 12-4, 8-8, 8-8. So I think, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, they have to at very least show that the organization is back on sort of an ascending trajectory. And what's the best way to do that? Well, it's to have your rookie quarterback in there and playing well, where at the end of the year, ownership has to say to itself, do we really want to pull the plug on this and shake things up on a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback, who's playing really well, or do we want to stay the course because the kid was awesome in November and December? So to me, LeVar, that's the two paths that they have to keeping their jobs there. It's either A, you make the playoffs, in which case you're fine either way, or B, you're ascending towards the end of the year, and I think that has to mean Justin Fields in there playing and playing well.
Mm. Albert, last one for me, and I just want to ask you this, because some people are talking about this or asking this question, but, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucs taking on the Rams, could they be overlooking the Rams?
God, what a ridiculous
potentially
question.
To that a matchup they have next week?
You
is that a possibility?
Ever.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, so I was on Boston radio this morning. Let me ask you guys this. Is Bucks Patriots the biggest regular season game in NFL history?
Oh, it's the biggest matchup. That's for
that certain. That is a great question, though.
Honestly think it might be, because the only one I could come up when they asked me that, the only one I could come up with that was bigger, that was even in that realm, was Favre going back to Green Bay.
Yes.
Right. And the only reason, and if I compare the two, the only thing that Favre going back to Green Bay really had over Bucks Patriots was that Favre was playing for the Vikings, because he's playing for a rival. So that would be like Brady coming back as a Jet, right? But other than that, like the amount of championships Brady won, the like acrimony between coach and quarterback, it feels like Brady versus Belichick has it over that. So, and the fact that this might not happen again too, because they're in different conferences, right? To me, it's like as big a regular season game as maybe we've ever had, as I can remember at least. And so, you know, you can look until you can talk until you're blue in the face about how it's all about the Rams if you're in the Buccaneers building. It's all about the Saints if you're in the Patriots building. But, you know, like, there's a reality to this. These guys don't live under rocks. They have to hear. They have to be hearing it. You know what I mean? And so I'd be interested to see behind closed doors how those coaches address their teams with it.
You think they might be overlooking the LA Rams and Aaron Donald.
I mean, I don't know. You guys have been in those locker rooms. Like, if you don't address something this big, it's the elephant in the couch, isn't it?
While you got another team you got to play.
We got Aaron Donald across from you.
But I'm saying at least address it at the very beginning of the week. I feel like if you avoid saying something about Albert,
don't let these juice heads talk you off.
I'm not saying you address it every day, but all I'm saying is at the beginning of the week and Wednesday.
You got the LA Rams coming to the house. Like, what are you worried about the next week? You got the
Brady,
ones in front of you.
But here's what you say. Like, something along the lines of, listen, guys, I know what you're going to hear a lot about this week, and it's a game we're not playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, like, I need you guys to know. Like, I just think addressing it in some way, and I haven't been in these locker rooms. You guys have, but, like, I just feel like it's something that's, like, hovering both these teams.
No offensive lineman gives two craps about anything other than
Albert,
how the hell they're going to go
gonna
up against Aaron Donald.
Brady, he's going to get asked about it, though.
They're not, because they're going against Aaron Donald. They're scared against Aaron Donald.
Hey, Albert, I'm with you, man. Albert, don't let these juice heads talk you off it. I'm with you, man. Listen. Yeah.
Who would ask that question?
Yeah.
Who would do that?
Yeah, I would. That's who. Listen, I'm with you, Albert. You
and
I, man.
The same guy that goes into the restroom. And sits on the commode backwards.
Hey, Albert, these guys have never played the game. They don't get it, man. They don't know that world like we do. Screw them.
And about that life. Guys, I mean, when you made a career stirring crap up like me and Jonas have.
Yeah, yes.
Like, we know
that's
what
right.
Yes.
That's right.
I don't disagree with that.
So you can kiss our ass.
I don't want to do that.
OH! Yeah.
I-O.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, gosh. That's what I'm talking about. My guy,
what
Albert
is happening
Breer.
Right now? Hawaii is going to be really upset about that.
The voice of God, Albert Breer. Get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer.
Too funny.
Albert, we appreciate it.
Thanks,
man.
AB.
There he is.
The voice of.
Oh, right. Man, that was great.
Lowercase G.
I could get that question in.
By the way, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains Camp, brought to you by NHTSA.
Alrighty then.
What are you doing with your hand there? Alright.
I'm scratching
next,
my face.
Up next, you will not believe, the NFL is about to make something you loved that much better. We'll tell you what it is in the scraps next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up on Game. We're going to be sharing our real life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up on Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox with you here. We are going to be back on the air Monday. We expect some stories from the road. Brady Quinn in Chicago for Notre Dame, Wisconsin. Can't wait for some of those.
Yeah.
We're going to do some digging, get the real answers here.
Oh, down and dirty.
Yeah, yeah, damn right.
All right.
You know, by the way, that hot dog truck outside Soldier Field, I'm telling you, man, if you are into hot dogs or you want to take
thing,
a swing.
Not my thing, man. Sorry,
just
not
telling
for me,
you,
not this guy.
Tell the rest of the crew.
Nope.
Right in front of the museum. Telling you, right in front of that museum out there. It's Lee, you've been there. I told Lee to go there. You went and got a Chicago dog there, right?
You're damn right. Before and after the
outstanding
game.
Outstanding, man.
Wow. Yeah. Two dogs?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Brady's like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
He's
like, nope.
Yeah.
Not going for it.
Not right. Doing it.
Right
not
now,
happening.
It is time, though, for something we do on the show called this.
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it back over to our executive producer, Lee DeLapp, to find out what the hell we've missed so far on the show, Lee.
All right, you guys, we are looking towards a likely change to Super Wild Card Weekend. The league is likely to push one of the opening round playoff games to Monday night. That means there's going to be two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, and one on Monday with the final broadcasting network yet to be determined.
Okay, so we're getting Monday Night Football for Wild Card Weekend. Be still my heart. I mean, first of all, I miss not having two Monday Night Football games to open up the first week of the season.
Eh.
I mean, come on, man. I'm into this.
I didn't miss that. I got to be honest with you, too, in the playoffs. I mean, okay, if you want to, you know, separate games into prime time, so be it. I mean, at that point, you know, play them whenever you want. I was an advocate for this last year with COVID. I think if you spread the games throughout the course of the week, I would be watching. I know I might be in the minority there. I would watch Tuesday, Wednesday. If football's on, I'm watching it.
Mm. I'm watching it on Saturdays. I like Saturday playoff games. That's the most ideal. Obviously, because you can double down on a Sunday, and Sunday still considered to be the weekend, even though you have to go into a work day the next day. But Monday Night Football I've liked Monday Night Football, but I've always just felt like Monday and Thursdays, it's like it's a tease. It's like I got to go to bed for work the next day. I have something I have to do the next day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Thursday is the biggest tease because it's like it's the weekend, but it isn't quite the weekend. I still got to go work.
Yeah, we got to get up
before
early.
I get to the weekend. So it's just, you know, I don't know.
But Saturdays?
Find it for Saturdays. I think a Saturday playoff game, that whole deal, I think that's really exciting, really fun, because you can get hammered
if you're
not working on weekends.
That's exactly the point there. Right. That is all that matters.
Then you get to recover, go
just
right back at it, you know?
Ripped without having to wake up at you know, 2 in the morning.
That's
it's
all
fantastic.
I'm saying. Two for you.
Bombed.
Good for you. You got me beat.
What else we got, Lee?
We've all noticed Aaron Rodgers growing out his hair, but how much longer will he grow it? Well, Halloween's right around the corner, and he told Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee Show that he is growing his hair to dress up as somebody who is a hero of his who has longish hair. Who do you guys think it could be?
Ooh.
Negan.
Who?
Negan.
What?
Negan from Walking Dead. They look like they could be twins.
Whoever the hell that is.
You don't know who Negan is?
No.
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, you guys got to watch The Walking Dead.
You know what I think he's trying to dress up
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Negan with the
I never knew that was his name. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, with the baseball
bat.
Yeah,
okay. I can see that.
Right?
But still, LeVar's dead on. He looks just like that guy.
Bam.
I think he's trying to be Brady Quinn.
What was his bat's name? Lucille, I believe.
But dude, I don't know the show. I just know the guy you're talking about. He's one of the main characters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He looks just like him.
There you go. Negan.
I mean, so he was trying to be a hero.
It would be an amazing – well, I mean, it might be a zero. If you guys knew who he was, you would have thought it was funny.
Well, now Brady knows who he is.
Wait, Jonas, who are you picking?
Yeah, here we go.
Brady Quinn from his college days. Yeah, with that long hair.
Brady did have long hair.
That eye black. Just some EAS in the back pocket.
What you trying to say?
Little flask.
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying, maybe Aaron Rodgers looks up to Brady
Quinn. Have a great weekend!